Hello, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers, and I'm proud to have a good friend of mine and a longtime guest since I've been doing this show, Denny Wayne Robertson, the White County Executive. Hello, Denny Wayne.
Well, hello, Ben. It's good to be here kind of by myself. I may even get to speak this time.
Yeah,
Jeff Mason's not here, so yeah. I can talk.
That's right. I've had Jeff and Alan. We had the four mayor show for a little while, and we're still praying for a good friend, Randy Handy, as he's battling some illness, and we're still praying for him. And we hadn't had all four of you in a while, but I've tried to have you and Alan and Jeff in. And just to update us, because your counties are thriving. They're very important to this Upper Cumberland region. Y'all have done a great job leading that with your commissions and other elected officials. And so just wanted to update on you. And, yes, you actually get the microphone to talk.
I get to talk.
Today. And we don't have to worry about Jeff making fun of something that you didn't get. Or Alan rubbed it in. Yeah, he got a Buc-ee's. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the one Sevierville?
I have.
My word.
That's amazing.
That makes the one in Crossville, and no offense to Crossville because I love it, but it's small.
It's small compared to Sevierville.
Yeah, I saw it the other day. It's huge. So anyway, White County is still doing well, and I know one of the things, and I tell people, even in my new position, anyway, about they'll ask me what's the most common problem elected officials or local governments have, and I always think of you. Because you always have said, and probably since you were a commissioner, but even since you've been a county executive, trash, animals, animal control, those two things are probably, I shouldn't say give you a headache, but they probably consume more of your time, right?
They do. And seeing that we had a landfill and I had to operate it and was basically in charge of it, I really dove into how a landfill works and all the laws and regulations that go with it. Matter of fact, I've done so many courses, so many classes and correspondences and visiting these sites that the state of Tennessee said, hey, you need to take the test about being a certified landfill operator. So I went and did it, and I am now a mayor that's a certified landfill operator.
Are you the only one in the state?
Well, I don't know if I am or not, but I'm sure that's not something that goes on everybody's resume.
No. Well, I was going to say, and I think you had told me that last time I saw you a few weeks ago, but when you say you were in charge of the landfill, you literally were working. You were working there.
I was working there, and it got to the point that I was there probably 4 of my 5 days of a week. Sometimes actually out there driving a truck or running a compactor or something because it was getting bad.
So when we talk about working elected officials, you fit that description not only because you've been doing that. There's other things you do, but and I'm not going to name names or anybody, but we have elected officials in the world that don't do a whole lot, right? You can't really do that here in Tennessee local government. You got to get your hands dirty and work, and that's something you've done and actually done it at the landfill. Blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I'll be down there day after Christmas working again.
Well, Tim, let's get an update on that. I mean, it's sold, right?
The landfill has sold, and there was a lot of controversy over that, whether that was good or bad. But there's two rules of thumb here. But I've always been under the kind of the mindset that the government shouldn't be in a business that the private sector can do. Now, there's things that we have to do, public safety, EMS, arguably, but there's some things that the government should take care of.
Right.
But disposal of solid waste is something that is a unique mindset, a unique curriculum of understanding of how things operate. It's a very complicated situation. And for the most part, when you're talking about elected officials like myself, that's not who you want running that.
Yeah.
You're just asking for problems.
Yeah.
And so we just felt like that it was in the best interest to get that liability off of us. And because even when you get done with the landfill, you got 40 years of monitoring and to make sure that there's nothing has escaped that cell. And you're liable for that for 40 years, even after you're done with it. So we got all that off the backs of the citizens of White County. So I think it was a good move.
Yeah, and I think most people in your cohorts, your other mayors, and I've heard them say outside of being around you that they were jealous that you, one, you had a landfill that you can use. Mm-hmm. Two, you don't have to worry about the headache now.
Don't have to worry about the headache.
So I think that, so I'm going to ask your opinion on something. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the week, my wife and I traveled to Milton, which is a community in Rutherford County, for a Christmas luncheon with some Middle Tennessee trustees. And on the way, we passed the landfill in Rutherford County. Now, my wife had never seen it, right? So I knew it was there. We're going, trying to get to Las Casas Highway, whatever, and we're going around the landfill from 840. And she goes, she's looking at it. Before she's saying, I said, well, that's the landfill. She said, what? And it's tall. It's like a mountain, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's up there.
They call it Mount Trashmore, but.
Yes, exactly. And so she said, "How? What?" I said, yeah. And so they're closing that, right, anyway?
Yes.
When? What's the timeline? Do you remember?
Well, it varies, but I'm thinking within a couple of two years or
I said 2 to 3 years is what I said, just from my memory of being at CTAS. But I said, yeah, I think it's closing down 2 to 3 years. And a lot of counties take their trash there. Mm-hmm. And she said, and as most people would, but she's a smart lady, what are the counties going to do when they close that landfill? So what are the options?
That's a good question. And I have kind of been, you know, we have mayor's meetings and we all meet and talk about stuff. And being in the landfill business and the trash business, I've been sounding this alarm for a long time. From what I'm seeing, and the experts in the field are telling me that disposal of solid waste is going to cost as much as it does to educate your children in the next 10 to 15 years. Education is 70% of my budget.
Yeah.
So if I look at another department that's going to be that big of a impact on my budget, I've got to do something now. I've got to be proactive. I've got to take care of this. But that being said, it's going to affect everybody. And so I'm trying to get some of the other mayors and stuff, hey, this is fixing to hit you. You know, be prepared for it. Let's do something. Let's work together to get – you know, to make something happen.
Yeah, and you have been banging that drum. I mean, for years now, because I remember you and I probably talking about this even before COVID.
Yeah,
was like, you know, we got to figure something out. And of course, we have companies that have different methods. We got one here in Putnam County that they don't do a full blown operation, but they do enough to show other people across the world how you can dispose of trash a cleaner way, I guess. I don't know if we're moving to that. And so I basically told Amy, my wife, I said, well, they'll have to find somewhere else to put their trash.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, people have talked about incinerators, but those are high maintenance, right?
They're high maintenance. They're expensive. There's air permits that you got to deal with. Air scrubbers, they call them. Yeah, it's not a cheap method. Right now, it's still cheaper to dig a hole and put it in the ground.
Yeah.
And until such time, that's not the cheapest option. These other methods are not going to be used.
Well, so, and there's a, and I'm not trying to pick on Rutherford County, so anybody in Rutherford County listening, I'm sorry. There's a river or creek that runs right by that landfill, and we passed by it. She said, well, that's not good, is it? I said, no. I mean, the EPA, they stay on top of that, but yeah, it's hard to keep that thing clean right by a landfill. Mm-hmm. So, good conversation. I know, listen, we could talk solid waste all day.
Yeah, we could. I know all about solid waste, so anything you need to know.
I think it's amazing that you got your certified landfill operator. That is, and it's not a joke. It's just funny that you took the time, but they recognize that you'd been through so much. I mean, did you go through TDEC to get that?
Yes, TDEC. I got it. Thanks to TDEC.
That's awesome.
And I go and I take the continuing education every year on it to keep it up. Not that I'm ever looking to do that line of work, but, you know, I've got my CDL driver's license. I keep it up, too, even though I don't drive a truck for a living. I'm just going to keep those things up and keep them going.
Well, I was about to say, we're less than 2 years from election. I'm not asking you what your plans are because we're too far away, and we don't talk about that yet. But if you don't want to be county executive anymore, you've got some – career paths you could go, or you could just go to the house.
Yeah, I drive a truck or run a landfill.
That's good stuff. I've got Denny Wayne Robinson, White County Executive. So how does that shape your budget now? I mean, what kind of tax base you have to fund? Of course, you're still going to contract with this private company to dispose. Mm-hmm. Does that help your budget any?
Yes.
It'll be about even, a wash.
No, we're actually going to end up making some money. We're going to go from it being about $1.5 million cost to the taxpayers each year to it being about maybe almost $1.5 million revenue source. So it's about $3 million turnaround per year.
Oh, well, that's really good.
Yeah.
So we hadn't talked about your budget. When did y'all pass it? In June or July?
Oh, we passed it in June.
June. Mm-hmm. Tax increase?
No.
No? Hmm. I didn't think you had one. Y'all haven't done that in a while either.
No,
right?
We haven't. Been 10 years since we've had a tax increase.
Yeah. So, I mean, and so your revenue sources are obviously coming in pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You're maintaining services. Sales tax looking good?
Sales tax is right on course. You know, we budget a little bit low for that, but it's holding its own.
Have you had any discussions with legislators or anyone else about the money coming back to the counties from the state on the whether, you know, the registered deeds are recording things, mm-hmm. they're recording those, and the state gets their portion of it, and it's, I don't know how much it is for White County, but there's a big percentage going to the state because of what they're doing, and a small percentage stays in the county. Have you had any discussions?
Yeah, we talk. I think the number for White County, we're asking for half of that money to come back.
Yeah,
I think that's a little bit south of 900,000, 850, 875, or something like that.
How much is a penny value?
54.5.
So you would be almost at 10 cents, 9 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the tax. If you could get that money. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, session starting in a couple weeks. We've talked about that the last few weeks on here. It's session starting in January. So we'll see if the legislators tackle that. I mean,
I'm not optimistic. I mean, we've had a lot of devastation over in East Tennessee. There's a lot of expenses going to be coming up that they didn't anticipate.
Right.
So I hate to go in there and ask for more funding when we've got so many of our fellow and brother counties in need.
Yeah.
But it's something they do need to look at.
Yeah, well, and the state does a good job of deciding what monies they can do away with, like cutting taxes or letting that go back to the counties and cities, or what they need to do to raise revenue. And they've done a good job for years. So I have Denny Wayne Robinson. He is the White County Executive. Been a while since he's been on with me. We'll be back here in just a moment here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Denny Wayne Robinson, White County Executive. Glad to have him in. Good friend of mine. It's good catching up with you, Denny Wayne.
No, it's good to be here to talk to you.
Yeah, I don't see you like I used to, but I hopefully that'll change. So we'll talk a little bit about your budget. No tax increase. Turning the landfill and the trash disposal operation around. Hopefully maybe gain some revenue from that. What anything else stick out for this last budget year? And if not, when do you start as a county executive and working with your finance team, with Chad and the commission, when do you start planning for next year's budget, that 25-26 budget?
Well, actually, Ben, we've already kind of started planning on that. We've had a couple of work sessions. Next year's going to be a reappraisal for us, and that's always a year that just messes with everybody. Everybody's appraisals change, and, of course, they panic because the value really goes up, or it's really going to this time. And so there's not really much you can do. Somebody's going to get a tax increase. It's just, you know, it works off an average. And so somebody's going to pay more and somebody else is going to pay less. And so that being said, since it's all going to be already messed up, we're looking at trying to increase the compensation for our employees. That's really been a problem. And what we're looking at is not so much what everybody else is paying or what everybody else is, you know, other – we're trying to get them, our employees, purchasing power back up to what it was about 3 or 4 years ago. Because inflation has hit hard.
Right.
Our raises hasn't kept up with that. So our kind of our baseline, we're going to try to get everybody back up where they can purchase the same amount of goods and services they could back 3 and 4 years ago. And then we'll probably try to move on from there and try to maybe we're looking at some longevity pay,
yeah,
putting in that too. So,
well, I think it's wonderful that you and the other officials and even your commission are sitting around talking about how you can help your employees, right? Mm-hmm. Used to, I remember years ago, even when I started CTAS, commissions basically their mindset, and I don't speak for everybody, but some of their mindsets were you should count it lucky you get to work for the government because there's benefits to that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't kept up.
They have not. We have not kept up.
Yeah, I mean, not many counties have, mm-hmm, at all. Now, there are some counties that are trying to change that, but it takes a little bit of time, and it takes revenue to keep up. But if you don't have the employees, you don't have services.
No, that's correct.
And so do you hear employees come back to y'all, or is it something you all are just aware of without even having the conversation?
Well, no, we have employees, and a lot of department heads are saying they can't keep help for the county. Just because the private sector is just paying so much more. And not only the private sector, but a lot of times a lot of larger counties will pay more for that same service. And that, you know, man, you've been on it. You know, that's a battle you cannot win. Mm-mm. One county raises theirs, and next year the next county has to raise theirs, and it's a vicious cycle that you can't win. So that's why we're not focusing so much on what everybody else is paying. Let's at least get them back up to where they can purchase the same amount of food and clothing and vacations and stuff that they could back 3 or 4 years ago, and then we'll look at what we can do above and beyond that to help them out.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with some county clerks from Middle Tennessee last week at a get-together, and they were talking about their employees, mm-hmm. not their turnover rates. And just what we're talking about now, their employees are going to go work for a local factory in town, an industry. They're going to go work for some new retail coming in because they can make just as much money. Now, it's not always the benefits are the same at being the county, but it's also a morale problem too, right? Like if you don't make an effort to incentivize your employees, they're not going to stick around. And if you're making that effort, then you show that you value them, then they're going to be more loyal and they're going to want to stick around and work for White County or Putnam County or whatever. And speaking of those counties, you just said it, the Upper Cumberland works really well together, but they also are in competition for people, right?
We are in competition.
And that's just the nature of it. It's nothing personal. It's not like Putnam County goes and wants to, Denny Wayne's got a great so-and-so. We're going to go poach them. It's the nature of, and the cycle of one of us, as you said, inflation, the economy. People want to be paid more, so they're looking at something they're doing already, but they can go somewhere else.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the emergency services. They are they move a lot.
Well, we were losing folks in Putnam County to Wilson County.
Yeah.
You know, these our employees were driving from Cookeville to Lebanon, which is 40, 45 minutes, and making $5, $6 more an hour, and to them it was worth it.
Oh, yeah. Like we talked earlier, it's a vicious cycle. You know, White County is not the largest county, but it's not the smallest. So a lot of times we kind of pull from the smaller counties. Putnam County, Cumberland County, a lot of times they pull from us. Like you say, Rutherford County, Davidson County mm-hmm. starts pulling from y'all. It's a vicious circle.
Yeah, and the only thing you can do is the commission can dedicate more money to retaining and recruiting employees.
Yeah.
And most of the time that probably comes from the tax base. But if the county's growing, which you just mentioned, reappraisal, and I know y'all, you're right. Your reappraisal rate's going to be a whole lot lower, that tax rate, than it was 5 years ago.
Yes.
Because your property values have just skyrocketed the last 5 years, mm-hmm. and people are moving to White County.
Yes.
They want to live in White County.
Which puts a higher strain on our infrastructure.
Yep.
So we've got to do something. We've got to pay for it.
And that's what a conversation you can have with folks. Well, we're more people moving here. Our tax base is growing. Yeah, but we got to provide services for those people. So mm-hmm. more ambulance calls, more deputy calls, more fire calls, more tags being renewed. More titles being filed. I mean, all those things increase. So you got to keep up with it.
You can get
to a point. I don't know what the break-even point is, that you're not losing money, but you're growing. So is it the north side of the county that's still growing, or is it everywhere?
Well, it's basically everywhere, but the north side by far is growing bigger than anybody.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love White County. And you grew up, which part of White County did you grow up in? Did you grow up in Sparta?
Yeah, I grew up mainly in the northern part, Cherry Creek.
Okay, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've tackled solid waste. You are tackling right now. You're trying to get your employees more benefits. What else is on your radar?
Well, recreation, parks and rec type stuff. We're really pushing hard on that. We just opened up a new frisbee golf.
Oh, wow.
Course. And we had its grand opening back in November, 1st November. 200-something people showed up to play it. It's a good course. We had a kind of a questionnaire to get some feedback on it. And so we saw some weaknesses that we need to work on. And we're going to move forward. But the Parks and Rec for us is really a big thing, especially with the new state park coming in. We're going to have the big opportunities to capitalize on that, and so we're going to invest in it. We're going to make our parks and rec system a lot better.
Where is the frisbee golf located?
It's at our sports complex on the Smithville Highway,
and that's where the baseball and football
where
fields
the baseball
are.
And football field. Yeah,
that's a beautiful area too. Is there a lot more room to do more stuff there?
Yeah, we've got some room there. You know, we put in the frisbee golf. We've got a mountain bike trail there. We've got a new archery range that we put in there, along with the baseball and football that's already there.
Archery, is something that has been picking up in youth and schools the last mm-hmm. several years. Do you use a bow and arrow at all, anyone?
Not a long time. I've got one, and I used to, but I haven't.
Did you use it when you hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I wasn't a big hunter, but I never mm-hmm. got good with it. But the kids love it now.
Yeah.
So now y'all have somewhere for, I guess, does the schools have a team?
Yes, schools have a team.
Do they
yes.
use that area for the child?
Well, the schools usually do it indoors.
Oh, okay.
This is another league that comes out. Of course, a lot of the same people are involved, but the school system is not actually doing it.
Well, so this is another example of you all forward thinking about what your people like to see mm-hmm. and what even people moving to the county would like to see. So I think – I don't know if we'd have a place for archery here. I should know that. I don't know that in Putnam County, but I think it's great that y'all have that to offer. So frisbee golf has been blowing up for the last 20 years, really.
Yes.
And I've only played once, and I was terrible. So it was like my regular golf game. I'm like, I'm not going to be good. I'm going to quit.
Well, I tell you, they built that course, and of course, I kind of had to sign off saying, yes, they've done. And so I didn't have no frisbees. I just walked it.
Yeah.
It wore me out just walking.
Really?
I mean, it is a very intense course. It's up and down those mountains, trees.
I'd like to right, see it.
Yeah, it's something.
That's awesome. I have Denny Wayne Robinson, White County Executive. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers with Denny Wayne Robinson, the White County Executive, good friend of mine. In his third term, right, as county executive?
I'm on my third term,
yep,
yes.
My third term, served as county commission before that. Just a wealth of knowledge. We've been talking about the proactive approach that White County's taken this past few years, really since you've been in, anyway, and you're very adaptable. You see things that need to be done for the county. I'm still just tickled to death to hear that y'all have a frisbee golf course now. You have a place for archery. I think that's wonderful. That's seeing things that you saw a need, and you're providing that. I do think we need to get Alan and Jeff and Randy out on the frisbee golf course.
That would be something to see.
And see how that works out.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think there might be some competitive juices flowing there, but they might not be very good because I know I'm not very good either. But we'll have to check that out. So I think that's wonderful. You'd mentioned last segment about the new state park. So tell me the progress. How did the new state park come about? What was that conversation like, anyway?
Well, we've had some people in the community for years that have been pushing towards that and laid all the groundwork and stuff. And then when I came into office, I really wanted to help push that thing. And I tell a story. When they started opening this, we did a dedication down there. I grew up here my whole life. I was around Spark, Tennessee. I thought everybody's backyard looked like mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Until Me too.
Until I got off that plane in Fort Sill, Oklahoma for basic training, did I realize that the whole world didn't look like White County, Tennessee.
Right.
And I learned at that point really to appreciate what we had. I mean, all them years, I didn't think nothing about it. Took it for granted. And so after traveling some in the service and then just in my life in general, I realized we need to preserve this. We need to make this where everybody can see it. And so building off the people in the past that had pushed for this, we just kept lobbying. And finally the governor and TDEC decided, yes, we think we need to make this a state park. So we finally got that a year and a half ago, got it commissioned, money appropriated, and now they're interested in the planning phases.
This is Virgin Falls, right?
The Virgin Falls area. It's going to be Scotts Gulf Wilderness Area. It's not going to be called Virgin Falls.
Okay. Yes. Scotts Gulf Wilderness Area. Okay.
Yeah.
So the planning, I know there's a lot of planning that goes into that. And I've actually been to Virgin Falls. So my parents, years ago, probably when I was 13 or 14, I don't know if it was official church trip, but we went with church friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us were surprised about how hard it was. Now, I was 13, 14. I was in shape. We made it, but it took a while.
Yes.
Like is it four miles in, 4 miles back?
Yeah, something like that. It's a day's trip in and out.
Yeah.
You can't go up there at 11, 12 o'clock and think you're going to get back there and back out before
it
gets dark.
That's exactly. But it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Oh, my word, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that we have state government with our governor and our legislature that saw how much Tennessee boomed with COVID and outdoors. People mm-hmm. started just driving to Tennessee, flying to Tennessee to go to all our parks. I don't know how many official state parks we have in the Upper Cumberland, but we keep adding, and I think it's a great thing. Are they going to – what amenities? Any amenities they're going to have? Or is it going to be more of a hiking –
It's going to be more of a hiking, camping type place. There'll be a visitor center and such as that. Now, we've not, I say we, they have not decided exactly where they're going to put the Welcome Center at. It's a lot of acreage. This is tens of thousands of acres mm-hmm. that there's going to be. So there's basically a northern part of it and a southern part of it. And so we're trying to decide whether really that needs to go. And then, of course, we have the Rock House Historic Site there in White County that was on the Stagecoach Trail that ran to D.C. And a lot of presidents have stopped by there and stuff. Some land around that went up for sale. Of course, the state moves slow.
Yeah.
And so the county bought 20 acres around that to try to help hold that and preserve that for the state to come in. So there's even talk that the visitor center may be in that area.
Okay.
But we're not sure yet. But the state's going to eventually buy that and make that part of all of it too. So it's just planning and process. When we talked about this down in Nashville, they asked me, you know, what's your vision? What do you think? And of course, obviously, I'm not planning on White County ever being like a Gatlinburg or something. But I said I like that model. You build the park, you have that, and then we let the private sector build whatever they want to, the restaurants, hotels, whatever around it. You know,
right.
you just have the park. You know, up there in Van Buren County, Fall Creek Falls. I mean, that's nice and that's great. But the state has the hotel, the mm-hmm. golf courses and all that stuff. And so there's really not much incentive for people to develop around that. I didn't like that model. I wanted the private sector to come in around it. So
sure.
that's kind of what it's going to be. They're going to have a visitor center and accommodations for, you know, restrooms and such like that. But they're not going to go in and develop this and build a restaurant or a golf course or nothing right on the land.
No, I like it. I think that's a good plan. Coming from Cookeville, what is the best way to get to Virgin Falls?
111 to Highway 70 and drive through downtown Sparta, head east, and you will get there.
That's not what somebody can be there probably 30 minutes from here, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, 35 mm-hmm. minutes, something like that. Yeah, it's I'm 44, so that's probably 31 years ago, 30 years ago. But I remember it like it's yesterday because I actually slipped and fell and wasn't bad, but I remember it shocked me, surprised me. It's like, how in the world did I do that? Because it's not an easy trek, but it's worth it. Absolutely worth it.
Well, and also that gets you the direction I just gave. Went to the northern part. If you take the same directions to 111, go through town and take a ride at the courthouse, that'll put you down in the southern end of it, Dog Cove and stuff. And there's a lot of amenities there already, a lot of walking trails and places to go right there now. So it's like I say, it's a big, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it actually connects to Fall Creek Falls. Yeah, it's all now one land wise, it touches.
Okay, did not know that. So I learned mm-hmm. something. That's why I do this show. I learn something all the time. Quick story, you were talking about growing up in White County mm-hmm. and you thought that's all, that everything looked like Sparta and White
yeah.
County. When I was probably 6 or 7 years old, we were at Disney World, and I don't know if it was Mickey or Minnie. But they said, hey, you know, where are you from, little boy, or whatever? And I'm like, Bright Ridge, because I grew up on the Bright Ridge. And I just thought everybody knew where the Bright Ridge was. Yeah, Tennessee, Putnam County, Baxter. And they're just, of course, you can't see them because it's Mickey or Minnie. They just kind of, well, that's, I don't know where that is, but it sounds like a good place. My daddy said, son, we need to talk. So I told one on myself there, but I was so proud. I'm like, I'm from the Bright Ridge. But great stuff. So I'm going to brag on you again because the guys, Alan and Jeff and Randy, give you a hard time sometimes when we're in here. One of them followed your lead on being proactive in the county, and that was Cumberland County. And I had Alan on a few weeks ago to talk about. He talked about his new coach department, and he saw what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And how long is your coach department? It's over a year now. No,
yeah,
close
yeah.
to 2 years, I guess.
Yeah, we're working on our second year.
Yeah. So he saw how well it was going for you, and he wanted to do that. He's doing that in Cumberland County right now. But how well is it going, D-Wayne? What kind of difference does it make?
You know, it's going real well, and I do get some complaints on it. But when you change the way people's been doing business for a lot of years, it causes some backlash. But he's doing a good job. He knows the code book, and that was the intent of this, is for the average person coming in, a young person, would be able to buy a home and know that it was a good built home. Because
yeah.
it's hard to tell after the fact.
Sure.
It also helps with the financing, by having certificates of occupancy to be able to give to a bank on a loan. It's just been a good thing for the county.
Yeah, and anyway, we know we're in government, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to make everybody happy.
Yeah,
it's just impossible. But when you can do things like this, and the majority are impacted in the positive way, mm-hmm. it makes it worth doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so, I was bombarded with so many just tear-jerking stories about people that had bought homes and they were just bad. And so we had to do something.
Yeah, and I don't know, and codes definitely helps. It's a statutory thing. Once you implement it, they have to follow these regulatory thing, I should say. There's still people out here just throwing up homes, you mm-hmm. know, and I don't know how you stop that because, you know, they're building as many as they can to make more money. But codes is definitely a start. And your department started out with how many employees?
Well, just one. And then now we're up to two, and we're looking at adding another one because the building is just exploded, and the poor fellow just can't keep up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running wide open.
Well, let's talk just briefly about the structure of county government. The codes department's not statutory, right? You mm-hmm. do not have to have one as a county, and that's why you chose to do one, because before the state was doing it, and y'all were getting just a little bit of a fee from those permits.
Well, we wasn't getting any of a fee. Whoever issued the permit got $5 a fee.
Yes.
$5 per fee.
So you were just getting something done, really, mm-hmm. and it wasn't benefiting you all, but now you've got more structure, more regulations, and you're actually benefiting from it. But this department falls under you, right?
Yes.
And so you hire and fire.
Mm-hmm.
The director, you oversee and supervise. So it's not like the codes director's out there on their own and don't have any guidance. They answer the county executive.
They answer
so
me, yes.
And which the other departments do as well, the ambulance director and solid waste director, which has been you.
Yeah, which has been you.
That's been Diddy Wayne answering to yourself.
Yeah.
But, I think that the code – A lot more counties are looking into it just because of what you all have done. Mm-hmm. Putnam's had it for a little while, but you all have implemented it now. Cumberland, I think some other counties are. As long as that Z word doesn't come about, the zoning word, people are okay, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't like zoning.
Yeah, people do not like zoning.
They don't want somebody to come in and tell them what to do with their property, but they also want to tell somebody else what to do with their neighbor what to do with their.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's a catch 22. Diddy Wayne, you're a good man.
Well, so are you, Ben.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming in, being here, talking with us about White County, updating us, and I'm proud to call you a friend, and I'm proud of you and the county's efforts to do things for White County. It's a growing county. It's people are flying there, driving there to see it, to spend time there, and you all deserve it.
Yeah, it is growing, and we're working hard to control that growth, that it's beneficial.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your
Merry
family.
Merry Christmas. Is this your last show before Christmas?
It is, yeah. So tell your wife Merry Christmas for me as well.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
I met her, really, I've known you for a long time, but I just met her a few last maybe one of the last meetings I was at.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, she's a little Jew.
She is. Yeah. She's like mine. Put up with us. They got to be Jew.
They got to
right?
be, yes.
Folks, I hope you've enjoyed this. I've had Diddy Wayne Robinson, White County Executive on, great county executive in the Upper Cumberland. Appreciate his leadership. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Wonderful New Year's as well to you, but hope you have a Merry Christmas. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Go give somebody a hug or a smile. We'll see you next time.